This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Vision.
The next idea.
What they have helped us do is to really think in a totally different way about how to deliver and create something new.
This month, a group of Michigan CEOs traveled to Israel. They were seeking a firsthand look at the business ecosystem in the country that has been dubbed Startup Nation. In just a few short decades, Israel has been transformed from virtually no business into one of the most active, innovative economies on earth. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes accompanied those CEOs to Israel. He is with us today, as is our partner in the next idea, Ross School of Business professor Jeff DeGraff. Daniel, take us a little deeper into who went to Israel and why Israel.
Well, it was a group of CEOs, as you said, led by Mark Murray, who's a co-CEO of Meijer, and Cindy Paskey, who had Strategic Staffing Solutions in Detroit. And you had a cross-section of people in different sectors, financial, automotive, construction, venture capital. A couple of the people from, or at least the head of the MEDC here in Michigan, was on the trip. And really the attempt was, or the idea was, to go to a place that has built a reputation for growth. How do they do it? What's the mindset? What kind of public-private partnership is there or isn't there? And Israel kind of really comes to the top there, and I think it was proven. The trip proved it out. It was. We saw an awful lot. We saw some surprises and learned some surprises. There was a few times when we were talking with government officials when there was gasps among the CEOs at some of the things that the government was doing. After what we've been through here in Michigan recently with the economic development and the pressure that a lot of know-nothing legislators are bringing to bear on them, it was a very refreshing change.
Jeff, what have you seen? You travel around the world. I'm wondering what you have seen happening in Israel that is spurring all this innovation and fostering this really creative and entrepreneurial culture.
Well, Israel is the latest version of innovation ecosystems. And they start usually in these small countries. They don't have a lot of natural resources, and they don't have a lot of time to get a runway on things. So what they have to do is they have to vertically integrate some things, and they often do this around what's called a sovereign wealth fund, right? A big amount of money that the government puts in, and then it allows investability from other people in the economy. I've been involved with a number of these over the years, like in Finland, which of course hits way above its weight, Singapore, a lot of these places. But what's interesting is you need to really have a few pieces that go together. You need to have a great set of research universities, top flight, because you have to invent science. You have to start very early in the innovation chain with investigation and incubation. You have to have a lot of venture capital, which is what these sovereign wealth funds provide. And you have to have an amazing focus on science and technology. The challenge in all of these is to make them work, you need three things. And a lot of places have two of them, but not the third. And I'm very concerned about Michigan in this way. You have to have capital, venture capital, investable capital. And that's going to be a big issue, I think, for here in Michigan, because we have some, and we had sort of an engine for it, but it's been disconnected, basically. We have a governor who came from this community, deeply understands it, and a legislature that I think it knows more about this than the person who came from the community. Two, you have to have competency. And this is going to be a big issue in Michigan, which when you look at the adjoining states to Michigan, our percentage of 25-year-olds with a bachelor's degree or higher is relatively low. It's a bit of a scandal, if you will. And then three, and most importantly, you need a culture. You need a culture for innovation. And one of the things that Daniel's written about that I thoroughly agree with is that we used to have that culture. We used to have a culture of makers. And like a lot of people, I'm very concerned that that culture is waning.
I would add a fourth thing I think that I saw in Israel, but it's part of the culture, is there's a sense of purpose that we saw among a lot of these entrepreneurs. I mean, we heard time and time and time again, they live in a very tough neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Their backs have been against the wall since that country was founded in 1948, even before then. One of the strains that runs through a lot of these entrepreneurs is that they all of them served in the military almost exclusively.
And something that came real clear in all the columns you wrote from Israel for the Detroit News is entrepreneurs there don't fear failure, do they?
No, we heard that time and time and time again. Now, that and as Jeff knows, that's not unique to Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see that in Silicon Valley. People who know Silicon Valley very well will talk about failure as part of the currency. That's expected in a sense. But I think in their culture, it's very much expected. And as one guy said to me in a column I wrote recently, you know, once you've risked your life in the military, risking failing a business enterprise is really not a very big deal.
But here in Michigan, don't we, as you put it, tend to prize stability and certainty over risk-taking?
Yeah, and back to what Jeff said, I mean, the roots of this state are entrepreneurial. I mean, all the big companies, Ford, Dow, Meijer, Amway, Quicken Loans, Little Caesars, all these companies started as nothing. But they grew up into these big behemoths, and that really, I think, informs the culture. Now, Dan Gilbert in downtown Detroit is drawing a lot of more entrepreneurial small companies there. And I think that space, there is some respect for that space in this state, the likes of which maybe I would have said didn't exist when I was covering business here 10 or 15 years ago. So there is more of it here. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. I don't think it's where it needs to be, and there still is the it skews big company.
Jeff Daniel used the term "big company Michigan" all in caps in one of his columns. Do you think our education system, our business schools, have tended to train people to go out and land that dream job with the big company? You know, go work for someone else.
I think that at least where I teach, that hasn't been true for 20 some years. If you think about some of who my former students have been, create some of the biggest companies in the world. They just haven't created them here. Mm-hmm. I think there's two parts to something that Daniel said that's very interesting. When you start thinking about where these things have really gotten hold, these creativity clusters, we sometimes call them, there is compulsory service. I mean, think about Singapore and mm-hmm. the Malaysian War. Think about the Winter Wars with Finland. I mean, there is this notion of the wolf is at the door. And so that's an important thing. And the second thing is, in almost all of these cultures, none of the companies have turned into these behemoths. What they are is their turn cultures. And the reason is pretty simple. I mean, think about it. Is there an IBM in Israel? Is there a Boeing in Singapore? And the answer is no. And there's a bunch of reasons for this. We can get into this if you want to later. But one of the interesting things about this is in order to do that, you have to have a very high churn rate, a very high burn rate. And you do that like a venture capitalist would. So what a venture capitalist would do is I give 10 people $10 million for the same disease state. They have different therapies. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to accelerate the failure cycle, not avoid it. Now, this sounds like it's a careless, reckless activity, except what I'm really trying to do is very quickly find out the one that's really an interesting product. So the notion is instead of avoiding failure in the innovation, early innovation phases, you accelerate it. Now, this is what Israel has done very well, mm-hmm. maybe best in class, right? Mm. But here's what's missing. We don't have that bottom end of the economy, that incubation end here in Michigan anymore. And as we're trying to build it, there's no middleware connecting it back to the large-scale companies. That's what's missing here.
You're listening to The Next Idea as we talk with University of Michigan business professor Jeff DeGraff and Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel's just back from accompanying over 20 Michigan CEOs on a trip through Israel, getting a very up-close look at one of the most vibrant entrepreneurial climates in the world. And Daniel, the reports you wrote from Israel paint a very clear picture of sustainable economic growth that comes from these small new businesses supported where possible by private capital and business-friendly government policies. And you've made some comments at the beginning that I want you to get into a little bit more. Michigan doesn't compare so well when it comes to that, does it?
No, I think one of the most memorable meetings that the group had was with the chief scientist of the state of Israel, who is part of within the Ministry of the Economy. And as he sat and talked about the government programs that they pursue there, there were people that were astonished in the room. We had Doug Rothwell, who I believe is still the chairman of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, and Steve Arwood, who is the CEO. And when this guy talked, his name is Avi Hassan, and when he talked about the fact that he has about $500 million a year that he is able to invest in startups. And of course, people around the room are astonished. Doug Rothwell points out that's twice the entire budget of the MEDC for an entire year. And that's not all. The best part was when he said, and if an angel or an investor makes, let's just say, a $100,000 investment, they get to write 100% off of it off against their income taxes in that year. Again, the gasp went around the room. And they are very unapologetic. A lot of these Israelis are very they understand the American political system. A lot of them have lived in the United States. Some of them were born Americans. They get all of the American politics. And they basically – this guy looked at the group and said, well, that's fine. You just don't understand. This is strategic for our country. The failure creates other companies. And we're more likely to get four other companies out of a failure than if we say, well, we can't invest in this company because the taxpayers won't like it. He said taxpayers understand this is important.
And, Jeff, here we have our state lawmakers recently slashed MEDC's budget by 27%. We seem to be going the other way. So what's the right role for the state to play?
It's very interesting. There is a huge issue around tax that everyone, I think, has gotten wrong. And that is what low taxes do for you is they create employment opportunities at the bottom end of the pyramid. So if you're a mining state or an agricultural state, you want to have low taxes. But I'd ask a very simple question. What three states in the United States have the highest realizable personal tax rate? And they're Massachusetts, California, and New York. What three states by far have the most venture capital per person? They're the exact same states. If you're going to make the tax argument, you're making it upside down. So the notion is what you're trying to build in innovation is you have to build something that's a long horizon. It's not a short horizon. So you invest in research universities. You invest in these sovereign wealth funds, you know, the MEDC. You invest in technologies that look promising or strategically focused to the state. So we're a state that has a long history of automotive. I also think we have a long history of power generation. Water, we're the closest trading partner to Canada, which is 33% of all trade with America. So you have to look at where you're going in terms of what's happening 7 to 10 years down the road. And that's what Israel's doing. You can't look at, oh, the roads are bad, so I'm going to rifle all the long-term assets that we've got. And I think Daniel and I are on the same page about this. I think that's what's happened to us in the 1980s. That's what's brought us to the problem that we have. We were starting to see some remedies to this, and I think what's happened in the last few months has been disappointing.
I think you're right. And one other thing that struck me is there in Israel, there's a kind of a national sense of purpose that you get the impression is nonpartisan. But I think in Michigan, we are very much driven by the partisan, who's in charge, and we're going from pillar to post and pole to pole, back and forth, back and forth. And you know, I've made this point many times in columns about the road issue in Michigan. In the state of Ohio, you know, they spent on average about $1 billion over the last 8 years, about $1 billion more a year on roads. And if you talk to people in Ohio, they will tell you that whether it was Governor Bob Taft or Ted Strickland or John Kasich, there were certain economic development things that were viewed to be priorities for the state, not partisan priorities, priorities for the state. And I think you see that in other states as well. There's more, I don't want to say conformity, but more unanimity, more agreement on kind of basic infrastructure, economic development tools that benefit everyone in the state, not just one party or the other. We don't have that here, and we haven't had it for a long time.
Jeff?
I think there's an issue here that you're really raising that I think you're going to find anywhere in the world that you have these entrepreneurial environments, and that is there is a shared vision, and the shared vision comes from a sense of destiny. And I'd like the listeners here to go back in their time capsule and remember when we were going to go to the moon or we were going to lick the Russians. And whenever we have these inflection points, we seem to be able to get it. We get it. We you know, with the arsenal of democracy, all those things, we get it. The real question is, what is the shared vision now? What is the sense of destiny for the state of Michigan? Where are we going?
That's right. But I think the other thing, the other component about what you're talking about was courageous leadership. One of the things we saw in Israel repeatedly was a courage of leadership, was that government is not necessarily bad. It doesn't call all the shots. It's a partner. It understands and values the private sector and private investment. But it takes a position and it has a point of view and it leads. And it's willing to defend its positions and can defend them in many cases with results.
Lots that we've talked about here. Jeff, what do you take away for the state of Michigan? What kind of lessons do you think need to be applied to our state, and how do we get there?
I think three things. Number one, focus. Focus on where we think we're going to get a lot of traction, not just gross new jobs gained, but net jobs retained. Because remember, when you start a lot of new companies, they also fail at a much faster rate. So kind of the mid-section, the mid-cap, the middleware we've been talking about, really focus on that. So power generation, you know, trade with Canada, et cetera. Focus on a few places as well. I think Grand Rapids, you know, Ann Arbor, there are certain places in the state, Troy, you might want to put some of your attention. Two, you have to fully fund and be in for the long run on our sovereign wealth fund, on the MEDC. Fund it. Fully fund it. Not just fully fund it more. I think we need to be more aggressive about that. And then three, really focus on the emerging generation of entrepreneurs that we have here. Identify kind of the green berets, if you will, who can lead us all up that path. It's very much what Daniel said. We've got some leaders here. They've got some proven track records. Let's ask them. Let's follow them.
Daniel?
You know, I think there are a couple things that I would say. One is you need much more clear leadership and an ability and a courage to articulate a sense of purpose, a broader vision of where they want to go.
The long view.
Number two is I think Michigan has to understand that it has some phenomenal assets here. The auto industry is one of them. And it's not just making cars. It's engineering them. It's mobility. It's all the next generation kind of stuff that people around the world, including Israel, want to be part of. I think too many people have become too cynical in Michigan, and they say, we need to get away from the auto industry. No, you don't. You need to double down on what's really important and understand that there are things you can lever. And third thing is government doesn't have to be the enemy. One of the things we saw in Israel is they can be a catalyst to change, and they can support change in strategic ways, not do it for people, not write all the checks, but create an environment. And we talk about this time and time and time again about government can create an environment that can draw more kinds of investment and encourage people to become a player and to stay here.
Water the soil.
That's exactly right. And I think if I would say one of the biggest lessons, that's probably the biggest one coming from the week we spent in Israel.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. You'll find his reports from Israel at the website, detroitnews.com, and Jeff DeGraff, University of Michigan business professor and our partner in The Next Idea. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.